You were up at 4, baking pastries at 5, and open at 6. 100th cappuccino by 8, 200th customer by 9, and there's still 12 hours to go. That's why you need a business broadband that works as hard as you do. Introducing Sky Business. With 4G internet backup and our Stay Connected guarantee, that's better business. To find out more, visit skybusiness.com. Sky Fibre only, 30-second 4G activation or one-off credit. New customers, Pro Plus packs only. T's and C's apply.
You can take away my freedom, but you can never take away my car! We saw Fast 10, so you know what that means.
Show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the groove all the way to the room. Renegades and Street Fighter help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life for Timothy Green. Sharpening with the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call him when they're badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause they're bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. All in June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkeys.
Hello, family! And hello, family at Largo! Welcome to How Did This Get Made? Live 4 Fast 10. A movie that is just the beginning of the end. A movie that Vin Diesel compared to the Lord of the Rings. He did it in seriousness. A movie in which the bad guy is mad at the wrong guy. You forget for the entire movie that he didn't kill his dad. Someone else killed his dad. Why is he going after him first? But we don't care. There are 45 people in this movie. If you've never seen a Fast and Furious, guess what? It doesn't make a difference. You'll figure it out. And if you don't, they're just fun characters. So tonight, to break down this movie, to look at it from every different angle, because I can't really break down the plot more than just saying this. You have to know a little bit of Fast 5, but if you don't see Fast 5, that's okay, because the first 20 minutes of this movie are Fast 5, so that's okay. And then everything else happens. In a world in which everyone speaks English, everyone's able to travel around the world within minutes, this movie makes so much sense. But I will never attempt to break down the plot more than Jason Momoa is mad. But we're going to break it all down tonight, and I'm going to do it with my co-hosts. Now, let me tell you something about my co-hosts. They're excited to be here, and I want to welcome them out to the stage. So please welcome to the stage my co-host, Jason Manzuka!
What's up, jerks? What's up, family? Family, 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 family. All right, buckle up, assholes. This show's gonna be conservatively 3.5 hours long. We cannot shut up in the back.
We had to stop multiple text chains. Here's the thing.
We've had people unsubscribe from the text chains because we're talking too much about the movie.
I told Jason, I saw this movie alone in a theater in the middle of Ohio, an IMAX theater. I yelled at the screen, I got up, I changed seats. It was the best movie experience I've ever had in my entire life. You and I saw it first. Right? You and I saw it first.
We knew.
We knew the fun.
We knew what was up.
We knew. You've seen it twice.
Yes, I have seen. I'm going to be honest with you guys. In the last 3.5 years, I've been in a movie theater 3 times. Two of them were Fast X, baby. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'll go again.
Now, I will say that this week was a sad week because normally I would accompany our next host to a theater to see this film.
Oh, people are like too invested.
But
oh,
sadly,
they have to go separate? Some of us have to go alone.
But I will tell you this. I didn't mind the thought of you going alone, but I did love the thought of my co-host going alone at 11 a.m. with a cup of coffee in her hand.
I just love leaving the house. Where are you going? The theater to see Fast 10 a.m.?
I'll be done by 12:30. And now...
life changed by noon.
I'll play it one more time.
Okay. Hi, Paul.
Hi, June. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good. You saw the movie?
Yes.
In the AM. When the time still says AM on the clock, you were in a seat.
I was, and I told the text chain we were on that I was going with, I had a coffee in hand. There were no early showings of this movie. This was the earliest I could go, and I thought, well, I'm going to get some work done in there. I'll watch, but I'll be doing some emails.
Work done?
Yeah, I'll be doing some emails.
What work did you think you'd get done? I would love it if you did like a self-tape with Fast X in the background.
You know, I had this book to jot down notes, but then I had another book to just because I thought I'm going to go through some to-do lists. I'm going to get some bullet journaling
done.
I truly was like, I'm going to get a lot of admin done during this movie. Some life admin. I was riveted to the screen.
Yes!
I couldn't take my eyeballs off what was happening. At one point, I will tell you, I had to get up and dance.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. This movie gets you out of the seat.
The movie demands it.
Now, we have two guests tonight. One has joined us to talk about Fast and Furious in the past. The other is a How Did This Get Made All-Star. Been here before, talked about a great film, but came to this fully prepared. Watched all the films, and Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
To be ready for tonight. So he will have the most information because I can't even remember what I just saw. So to know the full 11 movies.
Over the course of 22 years.
With roughly the same cast. This is a feat. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know this person as a director, as a producer. He is from our Deep Blue Sea episode. Here we go. Evan Goldberg!
Hello!
Evan, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Too many sleeves!
I know.
I told you already, this is my favorite shirt, and I'm not cutting the fucking sleeves off.
You offered wear anybody who had an extra shirt, you would cut off those sleeves.
If someone will give me a sleeveless shirt, I will gladly put it on right now.
You also generously offered to come out shirtless wearing everyone else's sleeves.
And the offer stands, my friend.
But Evan, welcome back. The last time we saw you, we talked about Deep Blue Sea, a movie that really, if you look at the both of them, they both are... in a heightened world, right? I mean, like, I would believe that there's a shark in this movie. If you told me there was a shark in this movie, I
feel very comfortable saying Deep Blue Sea is far less heightened than this film.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I will say that the director of this movie said that what he brings to the franchise is grounding.
Thank God.
Multiple times when interviewed about this film, he says, Justin Lin let it get too far out there. I wanted to ground it in reality. So, a mission accomplished.
But in the past, like, we've seen them drive cars out of airplanes, rather, into space.
This one had the very grounded element of driving down a dam.
To be honest, so, I have to say, though, Jason, at points I did think, oh, the physics of this film make more sense to me. And they did.
I felt they have to agree.
They made more sense.
Do you remember when Vin used a car to smash two helicopters together?
I do. And I still think
I think that might disagree with your theory.
Once again,
comparison to the others.
Once again, cars are the hands of these movies. Yeah. They are used to grab, save, catch, throw, swing, anything you can do with a hand and an arm, that's the car.
Yeah, fuck it.
Think about it.
I mean,
jack off.
Anything.
What do you think the Nas is?
Anyone who can change their own oil can also bring down the helicopters with grappling hooks. It's fine. He's a car guy. He knows what they do. And this is actually the first movie with electric cars. That's a big thing in this movie.
I don't know
when they ever drove one, but it's in a lot of the press materials that electric cars. But they're never highlighted if they are.
Do you mean the actors were just driven in vans to set that were electric?
Yeah,
I did not see an electric car in this movie.
I didn't either.
I'm sure they're in there, but they make a big deal. Like,
I'm sure we got electric cars.
The Canon car that John Cena had. That was electric.
Oh, I bet that's it. Yes.
Every rocket was electric and very carbon neutral.
But quickly, what's your takeaway? You've watched them all recently. You've seen all 11 recently. Where do you fall in this franchise? Like, any just overview thoughts.
I mean, I feel like you guys might disagree, but this is where it went fucking insane.
This movie.
Yeah.
This is the movie where it went to fucking like madness level.
Wait, so
it was
everything
like teetering
before
on insanity
this.
The whole time,
oh,
and
wow.
This has like gone over the edge into like the depths of madness.
I'm not going to talk about it now because I would like to talk about it when we have everybody out here. But there's a scene with Momoa where I was like, oh, now we've passed reality. And for me to even have that thought in this movie, that really went far. Like it goes really far. So anyway, this movie may have been the one that broke it. Maybe we're going to get even more in the next two. But you know what? Let's talk about this one tonight with our final guest of the night. He was here for Fast and Furious. You know him as a How Did This Get Made all-star. He also has his introduction right here. Here we go. Let's get it out. Here we are. Seth Rogen! Yes!
Wow.
Welcome. Welcome, Fast Family. Seth, it was only a few weeks ago in which we saw Fast 1, and I'm so glad that we saw Fast 1 to then look at Fast 10 because it's wild, the differences. Like,
it's come a long way.
It really has. Like, they were drag racers, and they're now superheroes, really.
I think they're immortal.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're running a spy shop from their house. Like, they are fully giving out missions.
We have to talk about the fact that he just lives at his house for an hour.
Did I miss something? Like, they're looking for him.
Yeah.
He's at home.
Yeah.
Yep.
He never leaves home. He only leaves home for a couple days every few years.
I don't.
And what we have to assume is that Momoa's been there the whole time. For the last 10 years, Momoa's been just like watching everything.
And he's like seeing the house blow up, be rebuilt,
reconstructed,
repopulated.
That is the thing that is unclear.
He knew the contractor they had. He saw
everything.
The floorboards getting installed.
He's like, it's good they're putting a sauna in. They need it.
And how they're doing everything the same, just like last time.
And Charlize shows up and he's like, they're coming for you. Yeah. And he's like, I'm at home.
Yeah. It's like neutral ground. It's like an embassy. He lives in that's the Fast and Furious embassy where everything else circles around.
But it is Echo Park.
Well, let's
but
be
what
clear.
I love,
he,
what
they
I,
live in Echo Park.
What I love, though, about it is from the first movie, you know, clearly it's had a house in Echo Park. They didn't think this was going to be going around for 20 years.
And don't forget their sandwich shop. Where's the sandwich shop?
Where's the cafe? Where's the tuna sandwich?
We need it. Somebody hypothesized that was just a cover for the DVD VCR sales.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think so because I don't think that you could write off that many sandwiches. That would be a hard way to launder money. We sold 4,000 sandwiches this month.
At one point in the movie, we do get into how much money they have.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yes.
Money's a big plot line in the movie.
It is, and I was so fascinated by that. I'm like, okay, so they've been making money per job, I guess.
Assignment.
Right, but we've had no sense of, like, any real upward mobility. There's stations in life also, which is wonderful.
He lives in the same house.
Yes.
He lives in the same house.
Well, he's able to redo it to its exact specifications every time. That's like, that's really rich shit. It's like, make it again, but don't change a goddamn thing. I want the exact floorboard. I want the tiny bedroom.
The same cobwebs in the garage on the window.
Well, this is what I was thinking of, that when they first shot that movie, their next door neighbor, it's just a side view, but it's fully caged in. Like, shit's gone down, and the neighbor's like, I'm putting a cage here because I don't want anyone in my backyard. Now, first of all, if you live next to them, I think you're very safe, but I love that
cage. I disagree. I disagree. If you live next door to the Toretto's, you're fucked. There's so much heat on that. That house has exploded at least once.
I think they backed themselves into a corner by having Paul Walker's character still be alive, but being completely absent. But the audience knows he has passed. So we look at him with reverence like, you have passed.
Yeah.
But then we also treat him like a deadbeat dad, because that opening family picnic, his wife is there.
Yeah.
And he's not.
And his son is not.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, I think they
wait.
Have two kids.
Yeah.
Whose child?
You're gonna ask who?
Whose child?
Little B.
Little B.
Yes.
Okay. Who do you think are Little B's parents?
I thought that Little B's dad is Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Okay. And then Michelle Rodriguez is Little B's mom.
No.
What?
It's happening. All of our dreams have come true.
Who's Little B's mom?
So, okay.
It's obviously Elena.
Elena. The woman who was killed by Charlize on the plane in
Well,
the
how about this? You can eight. Say the daughter.
She was The Rock's right-hand woman in Five?
You and her were roommates for two summers in New York?
Nothing.
Okay, remember when Vin Diesel goes to Brazil?
I don't remember.
In this movie.
I don't remember.
In this movie, he goes to Brazil and he races against a young Brazilian racer.
And actually at one point I thought, is he her dad?
No. By the way, legitimate question.
Or does he want to fuck her?
He's like, called her like, both. The
also
answer is both.
Yeah, like doing
she's
that
her
dance.
Uncle.
No,
that's his. He's her
that's,
uncle.
And there's an incredible line.
Once removed.
Little B is Paul Walker's line, uncle.
There's an incredible line in the movie where she says, "You go save your son, period. My nephew." They have to explain. They have to. There's no subtext. There is just text in this movie of "Let me tell you." So she is the sister
of Elsa.
The dead mother.
That's Little B's mom.
That's Little B's mom.
Now Little B.
Now that does open a lot of questions.
Opens up a lot of questions.
Now, by the way, here's what I'll bring up about Little B. That's also problematic.
Brian, wait, so. That's Elena Neves and Dom Toretto made Little B.
Yes.
Yeah. And Isabel is, Elena's sister.
Yes.
I love it.
But there now, is definitely chemistry.
And I Letty like, is okay. Right? Letty kind of, Elena stepped away when Letty's amnesia went away.
Little B calls Letty mom.
Yes.
Right. Because the baby was just a baby when Shaw saved the baby on Charlize's...
Which Shaw, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Shaw.
Statham.
Sorry.
Statham.
Sorry.
That Little B is the baby that Statham put headphones on and
I
jumped out of an
baby.
Airplane.
Now, but wait.
That's Little B.
This is why we're here.
Now.
We're doing the work.
Wait a second. Genuine
this
question.
This is why I went twice.
Now, to bring it all the way back, I'll say this. Why is Little B interesting? Well, he's named Brian after
That's why I thought it
Paul
was Brian.
Walker.
Right.
Huh. why would you name your son after your best friend who's still alive?
Alive. And not the son's mother who is dead.
Yes, at this point, at this point in time, Brian, Paul Walker's character, is a dick.
Yeah.
For not coming and helping ever. Like, by keeping him alive, they are now creating a situation where he seems like he doesn't care about any of them.
And,
by
the way, and his wife's, whose main move is hitting people with a frying pan, goes deep into the action while he's just out, and he's the best fighter in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like, Brian has an unnamed daughter. That is true. They have two kids. One is just daughter. And the other one
named
is
after
Jack.
The Pearl Jam song.
And the other one is Jack. But it seems like he has just wimped out, or because it's like they're all fighting these missions.
That is slander against that kid.
Did they show Jack?
Never.
No. Jack is yet to be cast.
We only see Mia as the auntie to Little B. We never see her as the mom.
The mother
to her own children. And sadly, she's like, I have to go to Brian and the kids. And Cena's like, okay, you go to them. And she's like, okay, gotta go. I gotta go be with them. And then she goes away in the movie because they're not there.
They're not there.
There are no people to go to.
And so Vin goes, me and Brian are safe at one point.
Yeah. Right. That's the only line to just say, hey, but yet, we have this moment where he stares at pictures of people who are dead, including his father, and we, the audience, are like, yeah, but he's not dead, but he is dead. But
well,
he
we
is
also,
dead,
they
but
also
not in the
play
movie.
An instrumental.
That's weird.
They also put the music in that is the song that was the end of
the Wiz Khalifa song.
The Wiz Khalifa song that's the end of episode number 7, right?
Just so you know, if you're trying to clear that song for a joke, they won't do it.
And if you're at all confused in the movie, don't worry. There is 2 to 3 previous Leons in the movie.
Well,
Reacher does one that's very long.
I loved Reacher. The whole movie is really like, it is just a playground for enormous men to get together and be together in community with each other.
You're absolutely right.
In affinity with.
And what's amazing is that all of these gigantic men have gotten together in one single movie to traumatically destroy the life of a child so profoundly, turning him into... When Letty goes, we have an unwanted visitor, you know what to do. And Little B has to be like, okay. Little B, we are watching Little B be so traumatized, this kid will never feel safe anywhere ever again. We watch Little B
kill
murder people for the first time and high five his uncle. We are giving birth to if they're not making a Patrick Bateman style psycho killer with Little B later, I don't know what's
like
up.
The training of Little B for one of his big moments at the end was really flawed. Like, there's a whole sequence in the beginning Little B, Vin tells him to just like feel the car and feel the rhythms of the car.
Follow the line.
But then what he's required to do at the end of the movie, that skill set has nothing to do.
Nope.
He's required to leap, fling his tiny little body,
and find the line of the other car.
Is that not
the driving lesson? Surprise! Turns out to be a flying lesson.
Yeah,
like that's the twist of the movie. Like, he was never teaching him how to drive; he was teaching him how to fly.
Well, okay, so I was early on. I got really excited, and I do think this movie. There are some improvements.
Even started talking about the movie.
I want to just say the line was, find the line, feel the car, and let it ride. That's
Which,
what he says
if you
to
told
his son.
Me that and then told me to jump, I would say I don't understand
what
how that worked.
When do I jump?
What's the line? What line?
And when Little B says, you're not afraid of anything, Vin Diesel does not refute that.
No, he's like,
he lets
you're
his
right.
son believe that.
There was a few great lines in the movie that me and Evan were marveling over. The best line in the movie, game recognizes game.
If you're not using that in your day-to-day life, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
You need to be using that as much as possible.
Michelle Rodriguez says that, like, with so little iron. Like, I've never said anything with that little irony. Like, it is so pure. Like,
I'm going to say that to you when we're writing from now on.
Game recognizes
game. Good joke, Seth.
Game recognizes game.
Well, they... And
as game, I recognize your game.
And it's still, to me, unclear why they have such an adversarial relationship, which is like Letty and Charlize.
Oh, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Well, because she killed Elena. Her husband's ex-wife.
She killed Little B's mom. One of the only deaths that I believe will never be undone.
Okay.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? That would be amazing.
Everyone's coming.
Every mortal joke
was no joke.
John Cena has to come back.
Well, John Cena's coming back.
Oh, he's coming back.
Because
I hope he does.
So the power of God. Like, Christ is going, because he grabbed that cross.
Say, yeah,
like,
as Jewish people, we got real weird throughout this day.
Vin Diesel is on a Christ-like journey in this.
This is the beginning of a Christian trilogy subtext. Yes. Don't get me wrong. Don't fucking wave a cross in my face.
I hope you like Resurrection, because that's a nonstop
thing. That's going to be
keep coming back.
There was so much, like, a cross?
Letty gets crucified by a cross, right? Because Brie Larson stabs her through, like, the cross.
The whole thing is all about
faith. Happens in Deep Blue Sea.
Ooh.
Same thing.
See, I like this.
They stab a shark with a cross.
Both religious allegories.
And that's how it's a little bit more grounded. Speaking of great lines,
I feel like
the other line, I just want to say one good line that I love that I keep on thinking about is Ramsay, who originally
this is an incredible. I wrote this line.
Ramsay, who is just like a hacker and kind of shy, she just says, yeah, I know stuff now.
Yeah. She says a bunch of car jargon. A bunch of car jargon.
I know stuff. Yeah. Just so you know, I got some rewrites.
She goes, Oh, that's right. I know stuff now.
Well, what I like about that is like stuff like hacking the world's greatest security systems is below stuff that is engines.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like about a 40-year-old car? Cool.
I think what I was shocked to figure out this late in the series is that these are faith-based movies.
Oh, yeah.
These are truly movies that worship a God.
So only Kirk Cameron the God is going to come in at the end.
No, this God, this Christ is Dominic Toretto. It's not Jesus Christ. This is
Can you
the
believe
Church of
he
Dom.
Hasn't been crucified in a film?
It's
I think
shocking.
It's coming.
Oh, he will.
It's coming.
I believe, and we can get into the specifics of it, but Charlize, Brie Larson, and Jason Momoa bring a lightness to this franchise that I felt
Cena
like...
Cena as well. Cena.
Oh, and
yeah,
Cena.
Please
I'm,
don't
Cena,
forget Cena and
Cena
put some respect on his name.
Is on the next level because Cena gets it. I will be a fucking idiot. And he embraces it and
he's
it's like...
He's not afraid to look dumb, stupid,
so
not cool.
It's so refreshing.
He's the only person that takes L's in this movie.
Yeah. We made blockers with him and we did a butt chugging scene and...
He was cool with it.
Pretty cool.
But the only thing is he does like to wear shorts. And I saw him in the movie and I was like, he got his shorts. Good for him.
It's tough to fit that body into pants.
Yeah, he's like, I got big calves, man. What do you want?
But what's so crazy to me about Cena in this movie, because I love him in this movie. And it's like, and again, it's like a breath of fresh air. And that's how I feel about like that first scene with Momoa and Charlize. I'm like, oh, this is not like the tone that I'm used to, and I love it.
This is what Vin doesn't understand, and I love Vin, and let me just say that clearly and loudly. But what he doesn't understand is like John Cena does look ridiculous for a lot of the movie. At his death scene, when he blew up in that car, I was devastated.
Yeah. He'll it's be like, back.
Don't worry. I knew
I mean,
even
how
that,
will
I'm
be
still
the
upset.
Most. I mean, well, look, we've
it
already.
It doesn't matter how.
I mean, the fact that Giselle is back.
I mean.
Oh, and the best reveal ever. Like, obviously, she's not there. No one's there. Like, they got her on a green screen, like, one day at her house in her backyard. And
like, we dug a hole in your yard. Will you pop out of it?
The fact that she pops out of that fucking submarine with binoculars. God. Like,
She's on a Zoom for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is iPhone footage.
Oh, but I was going to say, with John Cena, what I love about John Cena is that John Cena is not the character that he was in the last movie.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
You know objectively, right? Oh, my God.
He's basically like Peacemaker. He's doing like a funny character riff. Yeah.
It's like the last movie, he's like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to fucking kick your ass. And now he's like, I'm chill. I'm cool, dude.
He's like, I've got mixtapes.
I think it's like he's like, this is what therapy does. You go from that guy and you become this guy.
He also, like, I love one of the things is how, like, incongruent the wardrobe is in general throughout the movie. Like, John Cena's, like, in, like, a future vest. Like,
yes.
Like, going to the fucking gas
station. Going to the gas station.
Being like, well, I hope no one finds us.
Yeah. Like a future vest. Like if you saw a guy in that vest, you'd be like, that man's from the future. Like
you would just call the cops immediately.
And then Jason Statham the whole time is in like sweats and a hoodie. And like that's his whole, and you're like, that's his outfit? Like, that's it.
But
he
by
never,
the way,
like he's just in sweats and a hoodie. And
like, I feel like his storyline is dangerous for children.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of creeps that are like, you want to go on an adventure? Get in quick. Your uncle wants me to. We're going. Like, well, there is something. I could not help but look through the eyes of the little B at all times in a way that was truly shattering for that
child. See, I think the filmmakers were like, this is how you become a Toretto.
Absolutely.
There is something so funny about that character is the loser uncle who also like took down a house of 40 dudes by himself with his bare
fist. No, Mia kicked some ass.
Oh yeah, she does. Yeah,
frying pan
with her patented frying pan.
Frying pan.
I watched every film in the last month with my wife, whose birthday is here, and she's in the audience.
Yes.
and Mia Toretto uses a frying pan as a weapon 8 times.
You would think they would give her a gun by now.
What she goes
well, it's the same with the grappling hooks. Like, there's certain things that they do in every movie, but nobody fucking knows it. And like, well, do you know grappling hooks are in every Fast and Furious movie? No.
they're in the first. I think what it is, if it's in the first one, they like reverse canonize it.
Right.
And they're like, I don't know how, but we gotta get these
people
grappling
hooks. People are gonna want these grappling hooks, and as you're watching it, you're like, why are they using fucking grappling hooks all the time?
Because it's what they do.
They're grappling hook oriented.
These movies are underwritten by big grappling.
I also like that, like, we got to get into Momoa because
I think we're mixed on Momoa over here.
Yes.
Well, personally. And you know, that's why.
Oh, interesting.
He tried real fucking hard.
He gave it his all.
He gave it 110.
This is the thing, too, is that I also feel like if you watch this movie with the thought of, I'm trying to make Vin Diesel laugh in every scene. Like, that's the only goal. It's like, you got to see the off-camera Jason Momoa as the fully on-camera because it's like, let me get this guy to fucking laugh. And Vin Diesel never broke, so he's like, gotta turn it up. Now I gotta dance. I gotta, like I feel like everything was at the...
Here's one point where he just danced in every shot.
Yeah.
he was literally like pirouetting through every
And then
scene.
There's the scene where he's got the two corpses.
That's the scene.
Where he's got the two corpses.
We're getting into that.
All
that's the scene. I have a theory on that scene, and we were talking about it. It's like, I think they watched a cut, and were like, he just seems like flamboyant, and not, and that's it.
And not crazy
and
enough.
And not crazy, yes. And they're like, we need to make him flamboyant and crazy, so he should be hanging out with corpses.
That is the scene to me that I was saying to you in the beginning. That's where the reality of this film broke. I'm like, this guy is having a moment to paint the toenails of people that he's killed and serve them margaritas.
And like, where's everyone else? Like, where's, like, what is
And also just, like, on a time management level.
Yes.
He's just in, like, some backyard somewhere. Like,
what's incredible about all of it, though, is he's talking to the two corpses, and they each get reaction shots.
Yes.
So the filmmakers shoot it and edit it like it's a conversation.
Yeah, cut to corpse two.
That's where this movie goes to the next level.
It was, like, legitimately horrific.
Yes, yes.
I do think...
My wife, like, was traumatized.
I was as well.
She's like, oh, no.
Lisa
oh, no.
screamed, no, thank you.
I do think you're right, though, that this movie is, you know, obsessed with masculinity, Christianity, all of it. And they had this man, this man who was playing very feminine. And so they had to make him a serial killer.
Yes, psycho. Yes.
Like, there was no other way to justify his presence in this movie.
If he's wearing blouses, he's psycho.
He's psychotic.
And what I wanted so much, and I said it to Jason before, I want him to kiss Dom.
Yeah.
And they, like, let's race. And then he pulls him in. And they kiss for like 30 seconds. And it's like, and we just hold. And like at first, Vin Diesel's like not into it. And then he's like, all right, I'm into it.
Because wouldn't it be great if during like a brutal fight, Momoa just leans in and smooches him?
Yeah.
I know that when I can tell sometimes in my notes, I'm just going through them. I can tell sometimes in my notes how stoned I was when I watched the movie because of the jokes that I write. One of which is in the Rome scene when Momoa shows up, I wrote down, Momoa. Nope.
Well, by the way.
Not great. Not
by the
great.
Way.
But I thought, so funny. I got to write that in
pretty
my
funny.
Notes.
By the way, I mean, that should have been in the movie because they also take a 25-second detour to make Han get high on like a pop brownie. Yeah. And it's like,
and then it doesn't pay off at all.
There's no reason for it.
You're like, he's going to be stoned now. And you're like, oh, no, he's
I
not.
Want
Pete Davidson was in this movie.
Yeah.
I would like to argue that point.
All right.
Was he in this movie?
Okay, first of all, this is the guy who's in control of the London Underground? No offense to Pete Davidson, but I don't think that, like...
He's not British.
Yes. Put Michaela Cole in there. Put Richard Iowade in there. Like, give me somebody who's British. Don't put... Why is he in control of the London Underground?
Or give us a reason why he is.
Yeah.
Or build something out. There is... to have neither
Yeah,
is,
or put one of us in there.
Yes!
Put June in.
June during the British accent.
Doing a British accent.
And that's where they kick off the storyline, where it's all about just how Tyrese is spending more of his personal money than he would like to be spending.
I wanted so much more. Of
also, like
it.
His best of money, if every one of those bills was a $10,000 bill, he still couldn't afford the shit
it's
they're not, buying.
No, yeah, it's like you're buying tanks. Yeah. Like,
and no, by the way,
he's got max. Like, max, he's got $15,000.
It was played as though it's like a fanny pack. We all have them. Everyone's got a vest filled with money that they have sometimes. Just, one of their buddies, at least.
Well, but he also, like, what's so crazy about that scene is Roman is revealed to be the largest idiot of all time because they are trying to buy tanks. He's like, here's $100. Like, wait a second. You've been in all these movies. You understand that that's not even gas. Like
he's also, like, I think the third best driver in their logic.
Yeah, right,
like,
yeah.
He's a real car guy.
And they don't. Like, the fact that I get it's a joke, but it's also at a level of, like, stupidity that is really, at a certain point, concerning. Like, I'm concerned about the well-being and welfare of these people who have been hit in the head. They have a lot of trauma.
In the beginning, they have to set it up where Dom's like, to Han, he's like, Roman wanted to do this mission, so I couldn't tell him no. But so
that's like that.
So you know he's an idiot. So I need you to do it. I need to make sure you go on this trip because I can't leave him in charge of it. And I'm like, what is? And then they are constantly selling Tyrese out over and over again. So much so that he and Ludacris have to get into like a slap fight with each other. Which
that was also not good.
Not good.
It's also not like the mission is like throw a brunch. Like it is life or death.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what is the mission?
There is no mission.
And some cars. And
they're supposed to steal they think a computer chip or something, but it turns out to be the Gilligan's Island bomb. Oh,
but they need God's eye for something.
What are they trying to do in the second half of the movie? Just get back to the rest of the group?
Oh,
they're all trying to get back to that.
It depends on who you're talking about. This is an interesting movie because this movie allows for
Dom. We're still in the first act.
When the movie ends on the first act. We all screamed like, what? Like, I have never been, like...
It would be like if this show ended now.
The finale of The Sopranos was less shocking of an ending than when this movie said
if it's a true three-part movie, the end of the movie is the end of the first act. So we have so
but
much
I
more
go to back to the, I, this is exactly like when Legolas goes down the river. The other guys are going to fucking Isengard or whatever. No difference.
It is unfulfilling to end the movie where it ends because it's like, okay, well, like, wouldn't you, like, you, even if you cut with the him just going down, like,
know,
cut out there.
Here's the thing. I think it's very troubling to be like, oh, it's three movies. It's like, it's been 10 movies. You can't tell us that this is one of three. It's like, we're in X, you know? There's already been so many parts.
Right. This should be the natural conclusion. It's not like, it's like a K-turn of an ending. It's like, oh, well, we got to pull out, pull in.
And I want to call this now. After the third one of this trilogy, it's going to end, and then there's going to be a mid-credit sequence, and it's going to fucking start up all over again.
Oh,
for fucking sure.
You cut back to Little Bow Wow from 2. He never did race me. So Vin actually gets quieter in this movie and more stoic than he's ever been.
What's interesting, he shows some vulnerability in this one, which
I agree.
Is a little weird.
Yeah.
I love Vin Diesel.
I do too.
I actually think he's the thing that makes these, like, I like Hobbs and Shaw, but I think, like, his absence is what makes that movie feel like, the thing is, like, as many tones as there are in the movie, he works in every one because he takes them all so seriously.
Yes, yes.
Like, and he's never winking at the camera. He's never, in his head, you see, he's like, these are the best fucking movies ever made.
Yes.
I have to take them as seriously as anything.
I need you to understand that Vin Diesel, in this movie, Dom is alone on a solo Christ-like journey in the desert. He saves the Vatican. He saves
by playing
the Vatican
pinball.
Alone.
Pinball with a giant nautical bomb that everyone is familiar with. Oh, it's that.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. Ludacris knows every bomb on Earth and all their specs.
Oh, my God. He identifies it immediately.
It's just so interesting, though, that the threat of the bomb is not that it's going to be detonated.
Nope.
It's just that the size of it rolling around is going to hurt people.
And it literally is, I feel like it's inspired by a pinball game.
Absolutely. Oh. And
I mean, Vin Diesel also, he goes downstairs on the side in that car still has no problem with traction, jumps
up. He uses
up.
The car to shield the restaurant people from the fire?
Oh, well, that's the other thing. So many people get killed in this movie.
No!
I know, but they don't show it, but they have to, right?
No, but the collateral damage.
There was no fatalities.
No fatalities. No fatalities.
That's
bullshit.
Impossible.
When that bomb goes off, it shoots cars forward by 100 feet. There's somebody walking around the Vatican that day.
People would have died just naturally in that area.
This is how I know you're not. Yeah. You are not men of faith. Because if you were, you would understand.
It would have been great if they said, 150 people died, but then mysteriously resurrected.
Resurrected, yeah.
I have a question I'm dying to ask. There are 12 main characters up until this film. Then they introduce 5 more main characters.
Sure.
Do we think they're going to add 5 more in every subsequent film?
Well, there's more characters to bring back, right? Because, like, I mean, if we go back to the charts. This is our simple cast for Fast 10. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 25, 27 characters with then 28, 20, 29 characters that pop up.
Not enough.
Right. And by the way, one of them is Paul Walker's daughter.
Yes.
She is the flight attendant. She's the flight attendant.
But she was like a spy flight attendant.
Yes, the spy flight attendant.
Yeah, she's helping Uncle Jacob out.
I also felt bad for Diago.
I felt bad for him.
Who really sticks up for Vin Diesel, protects him from getting killed, and then Vin Diesel has no hesitation.
Well, because
he thinks he's like,
oh, I'm going to win, and that's...
okay.
That's
so,
like being Judas. Like, he has a cross. Jesus and must die for his choice.
Okay, so then that makes sense.
That was very clear.
Hubris. He's guilty of hubris.
Are John Cena and Jordana Brewster siblings?
Yes. I didn't realize that until 20 minutes
and
ago.
Yes. Rita Moreno is all of their mothers?
Yes.
Should we talk about Rita Moreno or just stay away from it?
I mean, the fact that they bring her into this... I mean, she doesn't even really...
This next one opens with her killing like 20 mothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's what I think. I think they're setting up Rita Moreno to fight Queenie.
Well, it's so interesting, though, because the whole all of these movies are based on, like, the patriarchy of the Toretto family and passing along, like, the legacy of what it is to be a man in this family. And so when she arrived, I was like, I didn't know they had a mom. I just have never...
She's the grandmother.
She's the grandma. So they do not have a mom.
She created Toretto.
Yes. So until the next movie.
Oh, so it is still about the men in the family.
Yeah. Wait a second. I just realized something.
Rita Moreno says to Dom, you honor his name. When he's looking at pictures of his dead father, her dead son.
Jack Toretto.
Jack
is his name.
Don't bother about my name.
His name. But where is his mom?
So Jack Toretto had... Jack Toretto had Mia Toretto, Jacob Toretto, and Dom Toretto.
His dad birthed him.
And there's no... Yeah,
that's
there's
the thing.
No mom.
Every
moms.
Toretto was squoze from a penis.
He was born in the back of a car.
He was born
in a muffler.
He was born out of a Nas container. His dad fucked a Nas container.
And the only way to instigate the birth is you have to go 120 miles an hour and hit the nose.
It looks like hell, like when a snake eats a person, but in reverse.
I think that Vin Diesel was born the same way that we saw the birth of that guy who was in Shaw's punching bag. Jim Brewer? I don't know.
That was Jim Brewer.
I think that that's how everyone's born in here. It's like they get punched enough by Shaw, then they birth out of there. Who was that guy? Shaw feels like he should be fighting guys in shape. Like, that just feels like easy pickings.
He was just punishing
that
guy.
That's from another movie.
That's from Hobbs and Shaw.
What?
The
Russian guy from Rogue Nation.
There you go.
But
no,
not from...
that gag is from another movie where it introduces someone punching a punching bag and then they reveal
someone's in the
punching
bag. I don't give a shit. That gag was great and I loved it.
It was a good gag.
I didn't like... Well, I guess, again, there's some... big comedy. Like, that guy's
there was only like 20 people in our theater and that bit killed.
Oh, I can imagine. And then maybe that's where, like, this director understands how to, like, kind of let that valve out. Because I was going to say, like, we see Vin so serious in the movies, but then look at him in an interview like this.
Okay. 10. Fast 10. Is this going to be the biggest and best one yet?
It's going to be the biggest and best one yet. And in so many ways, it's going to be the biggest and best one yet. In some ways, it's just the fact that we're continuing. In some ways, the fact that we're continuing a saga and we have incredible talent like Tyrese Gibson that live and breathe the role of Roman. And because of Roman, we decided to do our premiere in Rome. Get it? Rome, Roman. It's all because of Roman beers. We're going to go to Rome. I got an idea. Let's do the world premiere at Roman. Rome.
See what happens when they get together?
The decisions being made in rooms that I'm not in. Give me a hug, man. I love you, man.
You too,
I love you.
Brothers.
I love you, man.
They're brothers.
I love you. That's all you need to know.
You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
We shouldn't be allowed to see this.
I need to run.
All part of the same miracle.
Yes! What's amazing is that that gets at one of the things that's like, this movie is so, like, I love when this movie tries to do jokes, and one of them is the Roman play on Roman's name, which is then they go, the only Roman you know is Roman Noodles.
I like that joke.
That's a huge joke
that
in
was
the
a
movie.
Great, that was a good joke.
I mean, I was actually thinking, like, the opening of this movie also, because I saw the trailer for Oppenheimer before this.
Yeah, very similar. Totally. Yeah, very similar.
Right, and I thought, like, with that bomb, that's kind of what was going on. It's like, he's like, I heard them making Oppenheimer. We'll fucking do it in the first 20 minutes of our movie. And better, because it's like, the bomb looked exactly the same. Like, when they're launching it up in the trailer before the movie, like, it's the same bomb. I think same it's bomb. The Oppenheimer bomb.
I want the Oppenheimer bomb. Roll it through Rome.
All of the all of the flaming pinball Rome stuff ending in Dom hitting a crane that comes around like a flipper in pinball.
And then he keeps driving.
Yes. He keeps driving. He drives. It's so fun to watch someone just exist as an immortal on Earth. Unfazed, as long as he's in a car from beginning to end. In the end, he's like, the only mistake you made was not taking away my car. And that's it. That's it. As long as he's got a car, he can do
anything. It's also, I believe, the first time we ever see him buckle up. The first time seatbelts have ever been used.
No, in the van. He's in the van with Reacher. He's you should buckle up.
Jack Reacher.
By the way, Jack Reacher.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
And shot an alt scene there at the end. They're like, you know what? Why don't you just be in cahoots with Jason Momoa? He's like,
yeah.
And they did it. And that was it.
That
like,
made
he didn't
no
know.
Sense.
Yeah. Like, he didn't know it. He wasn't playing it that way. That was not in the script. They're like, yeah, you guys are in cahoots.
Now, can I ask a question? What is the agency?
Great question.
Is it tax funded?
What are they trying to do?
I think it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel movies.
Yes.
But they're not trying to do anything.
Oh, aren't they? They're trying to do everything.
Well, they also have he basically has like a John Wick system. It's like, who wants to kill Dom Toretto? It's like, I do.
Oh.
It's all like a who wants to be a millionaire gamer? Some weird, like,
it's
everyone's
like some
silhouetted.
Sort of like Illuminati Kingsman style, like, independent agency.
Well, it feels like it used to be the CIA, and they were like, this is too heady for people. We need to simplify this
and
shit.
And it also feels like they answer to
the CIA
no government. They answer to a shadow government. Yeah.
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 The audience is on board.
Here for the agency. Yeah. What? That is
very
agency.
This
is a movie where the entire time you are believing this makes sense. Jason Momoa is after Vin Diesel because Vin Diesel did something bad, until at the end you realize, oh, no, The Rock killed his dad. Like, again, like, they don't want you to think that
hard.
Well, he
put the bullet in him, but did he really kill him?
I mean, the way that they show first of all, that was a surprise to me. And I leapt for joy that The Rock is back.
Oh, yeah. I legitimately
love The Rock.
I 100% thought it was going to be a CG construct of Paul Walker.
I me too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they're saving it. Paul Walker will be in these movies.
They're waiting for the technology
movie,
to get there.
The
That's
movie
what they need three.
Is already basically written by AI.
Yeah, literally, Midjourney was only designed to create Paul Walker CG.
Holy shit.
He will be in these films.
Another cameo I lightly thought was going to happen is when the two semi-trucks pulled up at the end, I half thought one of them was going to turn into Optimus Prime. I legitimately thought one of them was just going to walk, walk, walk.
It was the technology.
Humans.
Like, the surgery machine.
We are family.
We
you
have
and
to.
Us Autobots.
Dumb.
The technology
Dumb.
Level is
Dumb,
this movie.
We have to find the Allspark.
The Allspark and the God's Eye. When they get together, we will rule the world.
Where and the Reyes family are aligned against us.
Where is Sam Witwicky? Wait, he's not here? We can't have him here?
And
okay.
And then John Cena plays his character in Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And that's how he comes back.
I'm actually the guy from Bumblebee.
The end of the movie should be like Pee-wee's Adventure, and they just run into every other movie and just collect the stars.
I'll say, I know Louis Leterrier is coming back to make these movies, but the way to really dial in the next two movies is to put Michael Bay in charge of
this
franchise.
I had a very different opinion, which is there's these two fucking guys named Seth and Evan who I think could crush a couple fast.
Absolutely, do it.
We want to.
I dare you.
This movie
cost. We don't give a shit about our careers. We're in.
This movie cost $400 million.
Not enough.
Not enough.
Wait.
$400 million.
That is too much money.
and the digital fire
There's 30
looks
main
like
cast
dog
members.
Shit.
Yeah.
The digital fire
the
is terrible.
In general are not.
I mean, honestly, like truly, if you have 30 main characters who've been in this franchise for a decade, you got to pay them. I mean, at that point too, it's like just in the slightest of raises, they're all probably making so much money. But yeah, I do think it's on the screen.
You blew my. I thought it was like $250 million.
The Rock
you
got a million bucks just for the close up of him grabbing a phone and breaking it.
He actually deserves that.
I loved it.
They should have just done that 400 times.
Wow.
Did you write down that last line? Because it was a great line. It was like,
you some bitch. And then he crushed the phone. I love The Rock.
I love the length.
I was so glad Black Adam tanked because I was like, good.
Yeah.
We get The Rock back in Fast and Furious.
So
and,
you're right.
And I think now, he feels safe because he's like, oh, I can be in a whole different movie. I'll never interact with 90% of the cast. Like he can be in a solo movie. Like most of these people do not share screen time.
That was a genuine bummer for me, was how little they were together.
Yeah.
Like, well, do you think any of it is like, I hate her, she hates me, I hate him, I don't go near that motherfucker?
So I know this. I know that, or this is what the internet tells me.
So you know this.
I know it for true. Dom and obviously The Rock, they don't like each other. So Vin and The Rock don't like each other. But then I heard that because of the shooting of Hobbs and Shaw, The Rock and Statham don't like each other. So they now need to be separated. So, which is a bummer. I don't want to believe that to be true, but someone said that they also need to be separated.
Dom seems to only be able to be in scenes with Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
And I'd love to talk about how the only
their
sexual chemistry is predicated on his ability to lift her up and then fetishize whether she's pregnant yet. Their sex scene is like, I lift you up, I put you down, and then I listen at your belly and I say, is he in there yet?
Did I put a baby?
When she says no, he's like, I'm not interested then.
If you're not
he only wants to fuck her if she's pregnant.
If you're not going to give birth to my kid,
I'll
give birth to my own kid. Like my dad did to me.
My dad squoze me out his pee hole.
I will say that when Charlize shows up to his house, and I don't know why Charlize...
That was the electric car, I think, the DeLorean that Charlize was in. Because I was like, a fucking DeLorean?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was the one legit thing that was just awesome.
I love that.
Cool.
And she put blood all over his mailbox, which is a pain, you know, to clean that off. When she goes there, like Vin Diesel's like, God damn it! And he hits the wall and the entire house shakes.
I really wanted to see the Charlize and Michelle Rodriguez like, adventures together.
Well, that's what we're getting.
We're getting Ben and Giselle in a tank.
Yes, we are getting that.
A nuclear
submarine. That's
Again, and just to remind you, Giselle died in a horrific plane explosion. there was no way.
And she looks great.
Yeah.
And I love, too, they blew up the last nuclear sub. But since then, Charlize has managed to get her hands on a second nuclear sub.
I did not realize that was a new sub. Of course.
It's a different sub.
Also, there's no bad movie with, like, a future prison.
You could make a whole movie about Charlize getting that sub.
They might be doing that.
I hope so.
Charlize also has a computer system where it's like, take this one thing out. Got it. That's the hard time.
When she made gas, like in a movie full of the silliest shit ever, again, in our theater, which had 20 people in it, when the gas came out and she's like, I made the gas go into the other room, you could feel these 20 people be like, this is fucking stupid.
Wait, I want to say, for people who haven't seen the movie, she is in shackles in a face-off style room with Michelle Rodriguez. Boy, did I want them to face off. I was like, please,
switch their faces, yeah.
Please, this is, by the way, the introduction into the fast world of science. This is the first
lasers.
Time we've been in a laboratory where science happens.
How about the there was that like contraption with five lasers?
The surgery laser.
And it powered up, and then it started, and you were like, oh, there's going to be a big action sequence, and then it just went away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Charlize and Michelle Rodriguez are stuck in, you know, beds, you know, with their legs and arms bound, and Charlize is able to tip-tap on the screen on the bed she's trapped on, and that she's somehow able to do a series of things that are
hack
she disables the alarms, she undoes her cuffs.
And why would they even have ventilation where that pipe would even work the opposite direction? Like, why would you even set that? But she does it so it is.
Oh, yeah,
also,
they should have left and then.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Also, that fight is great.
Oh, it's amazing. It.
Again,
when she
I want to
slams
say,
her against the
yes,
wall is fucking great.
The Charlize fights, both of them, are absolutely the most interesting and compelling action sequences in this movie, and they are, to Louis Leterrier's point, more grounded than anything in the last five movies, I feel like.
And they are objectively pointless to the plot, story, and progression of events in the film.
It is. This movie is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. It's like, hey, look, we know that the main, you got the main plot. Let's just show you, because like, this guy's getting a sandwich. Here's these people are in a helicopter. Yeah. Jack Reacher's on an airplane. Like, we don't care. Like, it doesn't feed into the main story. It's just for you to see.
Paul, yes. Can I just say one quick story before you go to the audience?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I showed my son, who is 6 years old, the trailer, and he just went, this makes me feel really strange.
That's my story.
He gets it.
All right.
Let's hit him.
We go to the audience. Everyone's in these amazing costumes. I'm gonna err on the side of picking somebody in a great costume first. All right, tuna sandwich is getting up. Tuna
nice.
Sandwich and wedding bin.
Yeah.
We got a fish hand and a sandwich head. Okay, so your name and your question.
I'm Alan. My big question is, there's two big mysteries of the series. There's the lineage, Dominic Toretto's parents, especially the mom. Also, who the hell are the faceless shadow people running the agency? I'm starting to think that maybe they're connected, especially since we don't know where his mom is. Like, right. Do you think that they would be revealed to be the people in charge of the agency?
Wow.
Ooh, whoa. Good question.
That would be cool. I love that.
All right, I like that question. You see, I had a theory. I pulled the clip, but I won't play it right now, that the end of Hobbs and Shaw, there's a voice. All right.
Oh, yeah.
And that this voice is like, oh, who is that? Like, this is like, who has been behind this the entire time? And I'm afraid they're going to retcon it and make it Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel they'll bring it in because it originally was supposed to be Keanu Reeves. Yeah. It was just
announced. Do we know who he was meant to play? Or?
Yes, the bad guy. And then they went back to him to be the bad guy for this. And then he couldn't do it. So Jason Momoa. So I still believe there's a better chance we get.
I love that.
I mean, it would be great to get Keanu in this because then we get great fights.
I was going to say, then you really can dial in great fight sequences, not just big car set pieces. You get good hand-to-hand stuff. Go ahead.
This gentleman right here.
They're not putting nearly that much thought into these things, just so you guys.
That is probably true. They're like, we don't care. This guy actually revealed the Keanu fact to us. It was confirmed to me this week and confirmed online as well. All right, your name and your question.
My name is Rich.
And you are in a...
I am the runway from Fast 6.
Whoa. He has a... Wow.
Amazing. So I would have said Giselle's corpse is somewhere on you, but it's
this
not.
Is amazing. A full explosion. We have the cars racing. Great, great costume. Full runway. It goes on forever.
It's 15 more feet.
It's 15 feet of runway.
This is like what miles. You would wear to the Met Gala.
Look at it go down. Look at this. Look, it goes down. It does. It's 15 feet because the runway was supposed to be 28.5
Is anybody
miles.
Here dressed like Giselle who would like to lie down on this runway? Real question.
Any Giselles?
You know what? I'd like to see a few more Giselles next time.
I'll pick it up for the next show. Do any of you, can you think of another actor who had as much fun in their role as Momoa did, like since Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder?
Or how about...
John Cena.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Like, I felt like I said...
I don't want to eat a meal and be like, this chef had a lot of fun making this thing.
Yeah,
he went crazy in there.
That's what dessert's for,
Seth. What about us, the audience, having fun?
He threw everything at this plate. He really just went for it.
I said to one of our producers, Molly, I said, that's Captain Jack Momoa. That kind of is the vibe that we're getting. It's a big swing that I think works. And I feel like people like that.
I will say, I was really, after, so John Cena was the big bad of the last movie, and I did not enjoy that as much. I enjoyed Cena in this movie so much more than I enjoyed him as the villain.
You need a yin and yang. When the villains are too serious, it's not fun.
Which is why I loved Momoa. I loved Momoa simply because it at least was something just different, you know? A different flavor. And I was like, great, give me all of this.
It was a different texture.
Again, I wrote a Momoa, so I'm on board.
I wanted a third Shaw.
Yeah, more Shaws.
Another Shaw sibling.
Ooh. To quote Evan's son, it made me feel strange.
Wait, isn't it a fourth Shaw sibling? Isn't Vanessa Kirby
the third Shaw sibling? Yeah.
When Shaw comes in, that was like, so by the way.
Ooh,
like,
give me a movie that's just the Shaws of London.
I love that.
And it's just a break.
Or a reality show.
Let Guy Ritchie direct it. Wait, sorry, Paul, what did you say?
No, I said just a reality show of them. Yeah. But the Guy Ritchie directing The Shaws of London, I'm in. That's a great spinoff. But I will also say we didn't get enough of him. And I guess the whole series, or for a long time, has been building to what's going to happen when Han and Shaw get together. How can we like Shaw? Because he killed Han. And I didn't feel like they really paid that one off too well. It's like he saves, he's like, we're
especially because the last film ended with like the two of them face to face.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh shit. And then it's just like 3 minutes, not even, a minute and a half of fighting. And then it's like, we're cool.
Yeah.
We're good.
And it's and like, it yo, you made me lose my snacks.
Yeah.
Was he still stoned?
I love snacks.
Was he still
stoned? Well, I would say this.
All of them's joke is they like snacks.
No, it's Roman is always hungry and never satisfied. And Han eats small things in little
bits. Yes. Han's like Brad Pitt. He's like, and whenever I'm doing it, it's little business with food.
I will say that I felt like when Han gets into a fight with Shaw, he drops a bag of little Cheetos. And I was like, ooh, I didn't like that he's like carrying around a bag of little Cheetos. Like what anything
you,
else.
What do you want him to have?
Anything but a bag of little Cheetos. Like that's like what you put in the kids' lunchbox. Like I don't like I'm like, give me like he could have
movie.
Like Good and Plenty's, he could have Mike and Ike's, he could
but
have
I
like
feel like this
nobody
movie...
likes Good and Plenty's but you, Paul.
Yeah.
Also, not a single other person.
By the way, your references.
He could have some circus peanuts.
Your
in
references
there.
Were Good and Plenty's,
Good and Plenty's?
And Mike and Ike's.
He could
disgusting.
Have he
Ooh,
could
disgusting.
Have some Werther Originals. He could
They're
have those
like
little licorice,
white,
black licorice.
White, chewy candies? Disgusting.
He could have had a can of Moxie.
And could have got some Necco wafers.
A bitter root.
Like Necco wafers.
A pack of Big League Chew.
An artichoke with some aioli.
Deviled eggs in a Ziploc.
So, June, you don't like a candy-covered black licorice candy?
Ugh. Disgusting.
Gross.
I like them, Paul.
All right, thank you. Hi. Who are you dressed as?
I'm Letty Inspired.
Letty Inspired. I like that. That you can come Letty Inspired. All right. What's your question?
Given everything that we have seen Dominic Toretto survive out of mostly 9 films, and he has survived a lot, do you feel like John Cena's sacrifice was kind of unnecessary? I feel like he could have survived.
4 billion percent.
Only, yeah. Only if you believe he's dead.
I have a theory on this. I think that The Rock wouldn't come back until John Cena died.
Whoa. He's because, like, there's only room for one of us in
yes.
these things.
And yeah. it was
only
like,
one wrestler.
John Cena was brought in to replace The Rock, and he's like, you kill off that motherfucker, then I'll come back in. Like, and I feel like they had to get him in by saying, and he's dead.
Wow. But how can anyone trust that anyone's dead?
No one dies in these movies.
No, I mean, I don't know how you could, look.
Unless you
have
see
a,
their heads split open with their brains on the ground.
They will
they're
still
not
live.
By the way,
dead.
Not only
could
does no one die in these movies, you can die in real life and still be
yes.
in these movies.
And if you die in real life, you are thriving in the movie.
Yes, your name, you're dressed as Dom, you look great as Dom, you got no sleeves. Your question.
Pete, and one, I hope the shirt is Uh-oh-a-mo-a with like the guy's face with all taped up.
Uh-oh-a-mo-a
but
is a good
what I was so frustrated was, is that staying on the topic of all, like they come back from, you know, assumed dead, is at the end of the movie when the plane of everybody and they crash into the side of the mountain, but you don't see anything. It's like, you might as well just say, yeah, they parachuted out. It's like, it
oh,
was
yeah,
so
live.
Upsetting that like, they'd even just show the plane actually crash into the mountain, put another, what, $10 million on the film at the...
No, well, they have to, like, they had to make it dramatic, but they didn't make it that dramatic because, yeah, yeah. Like, they would have killed the entire franchise. That plane carried majority of the cast, yeah.
It'd be so funny if they died. Like...
And
the next movie's like, they blew up?
And to Evan's point, they'll have another 20 people ready to go. It's like, and here's the other 20 people we didn't bring back, so it's fine.
God, what I would give...
That was their death.
What I would give to see just, like, a travel day for the team. What I would give to see them packing.
Them getting their itineraries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do they have clear? Do yeah. they have TSA pre?
Okay.
It's Who's also like they have
quicker.
To.
They
got to
bring cars everywhere.
Cars have to get on planes.
Planes are as much of their deal as cars because cars need planes.
And they need
Absolutely.
Big planes. And that means it's airfields. So they're getting
airfields. Pilots are a part of it. Clearance.
And they don't seem that they were rushing to get to Rome. So they're probably casually leaving 8 o'clock LA to Rome to get there for the next morning. They literally, that was like a 10 a.m. mission,
and
I'm going to say.
Jet lag.
They never seem jet lagged. They seem well rested. They take a day. If the mission starts Friday, we got to get there Wednesday because we got to take a day. Yeah.
You have a great costume here. You're dressed as Nas. Amazing. It looks absolutely.
Nas itself.
Oh, they're Nas. What are they called?
They're molecules.
Nas molecules.
Wow.
What are Nas molecules?
Like oxygen and nitrogen and nitrogen.
Oh, like real molecules. I thought that was like on a can of Nas. Now I understand what you're saying. Okay, great.
This really is our Met Gala, huh?
This is the Met Gala we deserve.
This is the Met Gala, but not revolving around a fucking Nazi racist.
It's true.
She is a chemistry teacher, so she made these molecules especially for the show. Please, if you have a great costume, stick around. We want to get some pictures of you, too. All right, your question.
I have two.
Okay, you can do it.
Yes. Do you feel like they push the envelope with the racial ambiguity of Vin Diesel and his child?
Yes. Also, can we say the name of the production company that was the first title card?
One Race.
One Race Productions.
We went from Race Wars, which we know is a Vin Diesel thing. He wanted it to be Race Wars to One Race.
We started with Race Wars, wound up with One Race. And there was a winner.
And his and his first short film was Multifacial, about how, as someone corrected me, he had a hard time being cast because people are like, we don't know what race you are. And
listen, okay. I get it. But also, Mark Sinclair, okay, let's be cool about this. That's Vin Diesel's name.
Yes.
Mark Sinclair.
Yes.
In real life?
Yes.
In real life.
Mark Sinclair?
Vin Diesel's name.
And it's always been that?
Vin Diesel's name is Mark Sinclair.
Yes. Yes.
This is... Is not
his,
in
is
the
his
podcast.
Middle name Diesel?
Is it Marvin? Vincent Sinclair?
I've been sitting on that so long.
Okay, what's your second question?
Oh, what a bombshell.
So this is something that I've really been pondering. So they pop out of Antarctica, and then they walk a small amount, and then a submarine busts out of the ice, but Antarctica is a land mass.
Oh, yeah.
Prove it.
Who's actually been there? No one.
No, Antarctica is an agency base that masquerades as a landmass so that people don't know what's going on.
We got another Dom Toretto over here. Okay, your name and your question.
My name is Storm. My question is, do you guys think that we're going
to
get...
I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you get to your question, Storm. He already has his license out to prove that
it's proven.
Storm.
My name is Mason Storm Bird, and unfortunately, I'm actually named after a Steven Seagal character.
What?
No!
You're named after a Steven Seagal.
Which one?
Call your parents right now.
From Hard to Kill.
Get your parents on the phone.
Hard to Kill. It's the guy at Hard to Kill.
His name is Mason Storm.
Mason, he was in a coma for 17 years and woke up trying to kill the Rastafarians who put him there.
And Kelly LeBrock like looks at his dick when he's in the coma, like, wow, he's got a big dick. Like,
Yeah.
What are you talking
That's
about?
That's in the movie.
No, I know. I'm asking.
Your parents saw that and were like, we have to name our son after
Were you conceived during that movie?
I was born like right around the time that movie came out. So
that's
born,
so dope.
Also, at the same time, Desert Storm was going on. So my parents didn't want to name me Storm.
Oh, wow. So Desert Storm and Steven Seagal.
Oh,
wow.
So you're named after both the war and Steven Seagal. That's cool.
Yeah.
You are blowing my mind. Your name is preposterous.
But deadly. Very deadly.
And fucking cool.
And patriotic.
So cool.
Wow!
So do you guys think maybe in the next movie we're going to get an answer, this tags along with the previous question, to maybe who Little B's father actually is? There was a huge gap from Elena and Vin being together, Elena and Dom. All of a sudden, boom, she has a child, and this child looks nothing like either one of them. Are we going to maybe find out who his real dad is?
His real dad is Vin Diesel, Mark Sinclair.
I do believe that he loves racial ambiguity across the board. Like, I feel like
Mark
Sinclair.
It's like, I remember reading about the Black Eyed Peas, and like, we could travel the world because anywhere we go, we could put a different person as our front man because that's the way. Yeah,
So we got the Fergie version?
Yeah. That's who we identify with.
You know.
Taboo plays big in different areas. What areas?
You know so much about the Black Eyed Peas. Why do you know so much?
There's countries where that other dude whose name I don't know, that's not Will.i.am or Fergie.
Taboo, that's it.
Taboo is the most famous Black Eyed Peas in other countries.
You go to France, Taboo is like, ladies and gentlemen, Taboo and the Black Eyed Peas.
Bonjour. Noir.
Je m'appelle Taboo.
Oh, my gosh. So we have been doing a very long show, but you know what? We want to keep it.
Oh, let's keep it going, though.
Lisa's got a birthday, but more importantly, we want to do something special. You see, every time we talk about a movie, we want to give a chance for a second opinion. We want to do something a little bit different. And you know, oftentimes we say to you, the audience, like, hey, does somebody have a second opinion song? But tonight, we have a special guest. That guest is John LaJoie, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone.
John, welcome. Did you see Fast 10? I know that you love these movies as much as we love these movies.
I've only seen Hobbs and Shaw.
Really?
Saw it on a plane, loved it.
See, I'm into it. I'm into Hobbs and Shaw.
I've honestly listened to every episode that you've done about the Fast movies, so I feel like I get it.
Yeah. And by the way, we are the companion piece to it. But John, this is awesome. So you often hear John singing the song on the show. Here tonight for the first ever live performance of...
Thank you.
The second thing, John. You've brought a guest.
Yes, this is my friend John Titterington. He's going to help me out. Audience, I'm going to need your help as well. Yes, give it up for John. I was going to do my normal Second Opinions theme song. However, since I've listened to the podcast about these movies, not seen the movies, I know that these movies are not pieces of shit. And so I had to tweak it just a little bit. Also, there's a Kumite chant going in my Second Opinions theme song. However, this is Fast and the Furious. So if you will help me out, I'd love to get a family chant going. So family, 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 seven, fate, nine, X. The movie was fantastic. That's why these people recommend it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe some art is objectively good. I need a second opinion.
For John. John LaJoie, John Titterington, thank you guys. Well, obviously, people love this movie. It's hard to find reviews on Amazon, so I had to go to our friends over at Letterboxd to get some, and I love Letterboxd. It's my favorite social media site. And here's what we got here. All right, so from Letterboxd, this is written by Alex Duvrage, and he writes it in French. Un résumé, pew pew, vroom vroom, bang bang. Aussi Jason Momoa version, J du tempo sur la crack. So, I don't know, but that's 5 stars. This one is R, just says, okay, but if Jason Statham aggressively pulled me into his house and locked the door, I'd hear him out. 5 stars. We went to Rotten Tomatoes as well, and from Fast X, that's the user, they wrote, was a pretty good movie, the sound could be a little lower. 5 stars.
It was too loud for Fast X.
Yeah. Kenneth Pullum gave it a 1-star review, and he wrote this. Hated the ending. Cliffhangers are great for TV, but not for movies when you have to wait 2 years to see what happens. Lord of the Rings was one of the few exceptions. And even they wrapped up every installment, so you left the theater with anticipation rather than frustration. Plus, that franchise was one movie broken into multiple parts in theaters only 1 year after the last one. Disappointed with whoever made this decision. Well, we'll not refer to this movie. We'll wait for the next installment, and then I'll update you on this one.
It's true. I have to say, like, from like a structural standpoint.
Yes.
This is the craziest movie ever made.
Yeah, there. Like, yeah, right? Because it's like, what is the plot of it? Like, if we really pared it down.
And generally, like, truthfully, like, when you're writing a movie, you're like, if this scene doesn't need to be in there, like, if you can cut it, you do.
Well,
like,
if that were the case, this movie wouldn't exist.
Exactly. Like, that's
this would be a non-movie.
It's nothing
because
happens.
None of it is necessary. I will say that one of the things that I really appreciated about the movie was tethering the stakes of the movie to inarguably the greatest action set piece of the series, which is the Brazil vault heist.
Right. Yeah.
So I think tying...
It's like they knew.
So the best part of the movie is when they reused footage from
the other movies.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, the first 20 minutes is just the fifth movie.
Yes, from other angles.
It's so smart to be like, oh, let's give a different vantage point on our favorite series of events, and that's going to start us off great. And then from then on, it's like...
I do wonder if they were like, we're at 400 million. They legit won't let us go over. We have
Can
to
we
figure
use
out
any
our
old
money
footage?
Saving. We got to figure something out here,
Use
guys.
The fifth one.
It is the 8th most expensive film ever made.
See, that's crazy.
And if you adjust movies for inflation, it would be Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Jurassic World, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Avatar, The Way of Water, and Fast X.
Like, by the way,
those are all movies that take place like on other planets.
Yes.
Like with other creatures, what, with other worlds, with other like
that
realities. This one's about a Plymouth. Yeah. It's about a car from 1970. Like
Dom seems to have a never ending like access to a never ending amount of exactly his car. It gets destroyed in every city he's in. His car gets destroyed. And in the next moment, hours later, he's jumping out of a plane in another exact same car.
He's fixing it on those long plane rides. All right, so this has 70% more budget than Fast 9. 70%. And $100 million just went to cast.
Oh, yeah.
$100 million just to cast. So it's...
I see that.
Yeah, so it's a
and
$300
once again,
million.
We will
movie.
All say, put us in these movies. We will work
Please.
For scale. We are cheap.
Now, I will say this. We talked a little bit about that scene where Momoa, what did you say, Jason? It was Oamaromoa?
Oamaromoa?
Oamaromoa. When he
still
is,
works. That's the t-shirt.
Well, that's what he said, with the face of the dead security guard. So that dead security guard scene.
One of the security guard faces, you're like, that one's okay. And the other one, you're like,
no,
that's too much.
It was upsetting.
It's really, when they, and especially when you cut to it for reaction shots, and it's like.
Because the blood was coming in weird spots. It was like, oh.
And it's all taped up like Amy Sedaris.
Yes.
It's like an Amy Sedaris character.
So this is the interesting thing about that scene. And I thought, and again, this is all stuff. This
Wait,
is not...
you're about to tell us the interesting thing about
yes.
that scene? Because it's already very interesting.
Well, so essentially...
There's documented information
yes.
about it.
Oh, I have a lot of information about this. So basically, this scene, everyone wanted to cut.
I could see why!
Yeah. And the person who fought for it is the head of Universal, Donna Langley. She said, no, that scene must stay. And so the head of Universal gets it. Like, in a way, like, that's the weirdest choice. Because, like, she's the one who's like, no. That's her stand was, he's got to paint the toenails. and get those faces like that. And I think she might have been right. I don't. I think
that's
it
his.
Is.
That's his Hannibal.
We can cut out our reactions to
that's
it.
That's his
just
Hannibal Lecter turn. That's where he seems to be not just another villain in the Fast and Furious pantheon, but a true psychopath.
That, but that's what's so funny about that scene is like, and if you took it out, he'd just be a goofy dude who dances.
Yes, but I also think there's. I also think there's something to just like. There's so many of these movies. I mean, I can't remember any of them, but I do think I will remember that scene. As a part of this movie.
That right. I remember that. That's like a scene from like a Michael Haneke movie. Like,
yeah.
It's truly one of like the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen.
And
in
Michael, Michael Haneke directing Fast
like,
12.
We know enough about those guys. Like he, like
all
I mean,
that, we know is they have a family.
Right. That's what he does. He gets recon on children. Like that's another moment that it's worthwhile looking at. Like the way that he betrays her.
That was
gets,
cool, I thought.
I thought it was awesome. He's like, I am, you know, like he says, like, he's like, I'm just like little Jared and little Mikey. And then all these security guys all answer their phone mid-hostage.
They all have their phones like on during missions. Like,
oh no, but I love, it's a great move because Charlize shows up. She's like, I met the devil tonight. And then the whole cold open is this scene where Momoa shows up and he's like, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to this guy and that guy. And then all their phones go off and all of their loved ones have been taken hostage.
That was, I thought, I liked that.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, but like I'm on a podcast and I don't have my phone on me. Those guys were like killing people and all their phones were just on.
On, but also they were in the middle of a hostage standoff.
Well, and that means like, they were on.
Hold on, hold on.
Were they on vibrate or did he say pull out your phones?
No,
he,
they just did it.
Yeah, they all pulled out their phones and maybe they have a special
because you hear
for their
like buzz, buzz, buzz. Everybody's phones start going off.
Wait a minute.
I loved in that scene when he when he's like, oh, and he's like, has everybody's loved one, all the mercenaries' loved ones in a thing. And then he kills that one guy, licks the knife. We talked about it. It's so crazy. And he's like, he kills the only guy who didn't have a family he could leverage against him. I loved that.
In this movie, if you don't have a family, you deserve to die.
Yes. You're worthless.
You're worthless.
There's and only one fucking thing that matters.
No family.
And that really is, I mean, that's our guiding light from the beginning to the end. No family, you deserve to die.
We didn't talk about Cena and the and Little B dropping out of an airplane in a microjet. And he, Little B is like, yay!
But like in like a microjet that he carried through the airport, checked.
Yeah,
I thought it was a kayak.
Yeah, exactly. They like and they and when he checked it, they hung it in the belly of the plane.
And they somehow have access to cargo doors in a commercial airliner.
And by the way, no other luggage in that commercial airliner either. I will say this. Obviously, we all recommend the movie, I would imagine.
Oh, my God.
You know,
if you don't see this movie, you should fucking kill yourself. This is...
It's the kind...
That's the only way to
no
put it.
No reason to go on. This is it.
It's the kind of movie where people can be in multiple life-or-death fist fights, car crashes, all the rest. They can walk through sewers full of, like, a city's absolute filth and look perfect. They look perfect.
Just like all of us.
Yeah. Just like all of us here today. Nothing ever, there's no consequences for anything in anyone.
I mean, Rome is pretty much destroyed. Everywhere they go is pretty much destroyed. They go back to Fast Five and destroy that bridge again. Like, they are menaces. They are bad people. Like, I mean, they are. They are equally bad villains. Wherever they go, they are hurting people. They're creating multiple Jason Momoas. You could continue the franchise for decades because of all the children of people who are killed. My dad was at that Italian cafe.
And that's the thing. And that's like the bummer is that, not the bummer, but what's great is Momoa is part of this crime family. But like the collateral damage of just civilians that die over the course of the events of all of these movies is in the thousands. All of those people have a real case against our heroes.
Yeah.
You mean like a class action type situation?
A class action lawsuit.
I'm just picturing
Fast 10,000. Fast 12 courtroom drama.
Class action.
I'm picturing that is the end of the last one. It's like 10,000 people facing Vin Diesel in hand-to-hand combat.
You've killed all of our family. So no!
Oh, God!
And it goes to this. It goes back to his other movie, Find Me Guilty, which is... Vin Diesel.
The frequency
that's
with...
Sidney Lumet's last yes. film. Yeah. The greatest filmmaker of all time, oh. arguably.
Oh, my
he
gosh.
He made 12 Angry Men and this.
The Verdict and this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Any final thoughts as we go around? Any final
Oof.
Thoughts?
I loved in the scene we were talking about where Momoa is with the corpses, incredible Foley work of just the buzzing of flies around the corpses.
Yeah.
There's such, there is really, this movie is flawed, but like really great compared to the last few. This one really went for it, I feel like. There was a bunch of stuff. Go ahead.
My last thing is just, and maybe this is an unpopular comment, I hope they reel it back a little moving forward. I'm a little
disagree.
Worried. I'm a little worried.
I would
worried.
Go for I would say I would go full like RRR with it. Like I would yes. go like
yes.
Like, I think it should go crazy. Like Vin Diesel should be throwing cars at people, like
riding a dragon.
Like, 5 minutes after Vin Diesel chastises Reacher for not listening to him say buckle up because there's a drone attack coming.
Which he knows about. Because he's on his
correct.
Team.
Vin Diesel is distracted and doesn't hear a helicopter approach and shoot the when the sniper comes. Like there is such crazy dissonance between yeah. what everybody wants and has. Go
also,
ahead.
Also, this movie, I was dropped into like the reverence the family has for law enforcement and also the hatred for cops, but also cops will flip and also cops are criminals and they're one of us and we hate them, but they are us and they are our family and we love them.
And John Cena has a bat cave.
John Cena has a... I remember Evan, oh Evan literally turned to me and said, John Cena has a bat cave. Like
I wrote that it. Is, I wrote it. John Cena, space. Dot, 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 a bat cave?
A full bat cave.
Well, maybe even the bat cave.
Yes.
The bat cave. This is the bat cave.
And this is the place where they're all going to meet. They're all trying to get to John Cena's bat cave. And meanwhile, Jason Momoa has a really sad bat cave.
Yeah.
His is
a
like
sad a, cave.
Yeah. It's like it looks like it's all like it is all full of flies. And it's like,
and then he calls. He's like, "You found my sad cave." The funniest when we were in the theater, like the people behind us, who I feel so bad for.
They enjoyed the film.
They were on our level on the same eventually, ride. But at first it was rocky. But at the there's like the credits, and then they were like packing their shit up, and then the like rock the sequence with the rock started, and the lady behind me just went, "What now?"
That's the T-shirt.
What now?
By the way, that's
she
the
was
title.
So bothered
that's
by
the
it.
Title of Fast 11.
What now? More of this? I loved the moment that when Lil B jumps into Dom's car, and Louis Leterrier does like it ramps into like the muscles of Dom's body. Turns into the elements of the car. Like the visuals, basically the visuals posit that Dom is the car and that the car is an outgrowth of
yeah.
Dom.
Well, a car was his mother.
I think Rita Moreno fucked a car.
The car.
1,000%.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's wrap it up here. All right. Thank you, everybody, for a very long show. Thank you so much. Good night. That brings us to the end of another live episode from Largo. If you want to see what our Fast X t-shirt is, head on over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. And a big thank you to Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. Seth Rogen's brand new show, Platonic, airs on Apple TV. Plus, Seth and Evan partner, combine, and make some of the best movies and TV shows out there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming to a theater near you very soon. Check out the amazing trailer. Plus, if you're not watching The Boys on Amazon, get to it. The show fucking rules. Plus, June, Jason and I will be on tour this August. Tickets go on sale next week. That's right, the first week of June. Head to hdtgm.com to find out more about tickets and movie information. But we'll be in the Northeast and we want to see you there. And if you are a member of SAG, I'm just going to say to you right now, think about voting yes on the strike authorization. It's not that we want to strike. It's just that we want to give the people in power the chance to call a strike if our demands aren't met. We are a giant union, and we need to get the word out about this strike authorization vote. We only have until June 5th, so get on it, people. All right, we will see you next time for our Last Looks, hosted by Jason Mantzoukas. But this show, what you're listening to right here, couldn't be done without a couple of things. First of all, you listening, but more importantly, I'm talking about the amazing producerial work of Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our publisher, July Diaz. People, they make the trains run, and we love them. So, we will see you next week for Last Looks, and until then, bye for now.
Oh, booking.com. I'm going to somewhere, anywhere. A beach house, a tree house. Honestly, I don't care.
Are you dreaming about your next holiday? Go to booking.com and easily find your perfect holiday home. Booking.com.
Yeah.